Coverage of Where 2.0 is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.
So the next big thing to hit the world of the internet is going to be mapping, and some say mapping's already here, but the future has not yet been mapped out, as evidenced by Virtual Earth from MSN, which is about to hit beta cycles here this summer. And they, of course, are presenting here at Where 2.0 in San Francisco. And right now I'm standing in front of a computer looking at a map of Seattle and seeing where everybody lives and, you know, writing it down so I can stalk them as soon as this interview is over. And technical evangelist slash program manager.
Yep, you got it.
From MSN's, you would be in the MapPoint unit.
Yeah, MapPoint business unit.
Steve Lombardi.
You got it. Howdy.
So are you enjoying your time down here in San Francisco?
Yeah, so far it's been real busy. Actually, yesterday I had to go from here down to San Jose to do a quick presentation. So it's been a busy couple of days. So I killed most of yesterday driving.
Did you use your service to figure out the directions?
I had Streets and Trips actually with me, and I had a navigator. I had Shandu was with me, co-piloting, looking at Streets and Trips GPS. So
worked pretty well then.
Yeah.
So Streets and Trips, MapPoint, Virtual Earth, is this all the same product?
Well, it's all the same. It comes from the same group at Microsoft. So the MapPoint business unit creates all of this and more. Like here you've got the location server, the web service that you mentioned, 2004, Virtual Earth, even Pocket Streets.
All tied in together then.
Yep.
So when you're looking at what other people are doing with mapping, where do you feel MSN is going to take what's already there and make it just a little better for consumers as well as corporate clients?
Yeah, I think that's a key point, is that we're really focusing on making this stuff real easy for consumers. So, yeah, there's a lot of gee-whizness to it, but we want it to be really easy and really useful for people to come back every day to do the things they need to do every day, find businesses nearby, get driving directions. And sure, there's a lot of glamorous stuff like the imagery and some surprises that we'll have when we launch this summer, but it's really the core functionality that keeps people coming back and using the site over and over.
It seems that with the Virtual Earth service that I'm seeing right now, it's almost supplanting Streets and Trips. Why would I want to go and upgrade from Streets and Trips, say, 2005 to the next version, which I could only assume is 2006?
Streets and Trips?
Yes.
Oh, because we'll be packing more and more features in.
Can you tell me about any of those features?
No, but if you're a if you're a 2005 user, I think you'll see 2006 as a really logical progression. So a lot of the stuff that you saw in 2005 that was all new, like the GPS panel, you're going to see the logical progressions of those features to create better user experiences. So yeah, there'll be a lot of reason to upgrade. And with all of our mapping products, the other reason to upgrade is that you're always getting the freshest street data. So couple times a year, we're rebaking our base maps based on the best data coming in from companies like Navtech, and that just makes the product better, keeping the street data up to date.
One of the things I found useful in recent months is specifically a service from Yahoo, the traffic updates, and I get those by RSS. Some people, including some folks at Microsoft, have built widgets, desktop widgets, for the Media Center edition that actually display a live real-time update of traffic accidents. Are there any chances of you evolving what we see here in Virtual Earth to the point where it's usable beyond mapping a trip but actually mapping it logically?
Yeah, based on like routing around traffic or something. Sure. We've had folks in the MapPoint group taking a look at that. We've had folks in Microsoft Research have done a lot of work with traffic. So yeah, it's definitely something that's on our radar.
Creating better user experiences. Now, what does that mean when you say that? Can you break that down?
Sure. It means you come into a website like Virtual Earth, you have some task you want to get done, and we want you to be able to come in and get it done quickly. It's similar in philosophy to instant answers over at MSN Search. You come in, and when you go to a search engine like MSN Search, what you're really looking for is an answer to some kind of question. It's the same thing here. When I'm new to San Francisco, I need to find out, where's my hotel? Is it close enough to the airport that I should take a cab? Where's the conference? Where's the conference center? Are there movie theaters nearby? I've got questions that I want answered quickly, and that's the user experience. That's the scenario that we're trying to help users complete here. Come in quickly, get those answers. I'm planning a night out. I want to find a whole bunch of things that are near each other, add them to my scratch pad, and then maybe email it to a friend saying, hey, why don't we do all these things tonight? Those are the kind of scenarios that we've got to make really crisp and really easy to do. You come in, it's very clear what the purpose of the site is, and you get in, you get your answers, and you get out, and you go enjoy the real world and not the virtual one.
One of the things that struck me as kind of odd but very cool is a little button at the top in the toolbar. It says Locate Me. Now, what was the reason of adding this particular feature?
Well, it's one of the features that we're not really showing off here yet, but that will be in our final product when we ship this summer. So you'll have to kind of tune in when we launch and go click that button and find out what its purpose is.
So if you're completely lost, you don't know where you are, you can always press the Locate Me button.
Seems logical. Yep.
In theory?
In theory, that seems like, I mean, assuming that button does what it says it's going to do. Yep.
Well, of course it is in beta. Now, I also noticed another feature in the scratch pad, which is kind of a temporary listing of places that you may have clicked on or been looking for to plan an itinerary. There is a button there that says Blog It. Now, I noticed that when you click that button, it takes you to your MSN Spaces page. But let's say I don't have an MSN Spaces page.
It would help you create one.
But what if I don't want an MSN Spaces page? What if I want to use the MetaWeblog API to make callbacks to my own blog if I'm on another server?
Sure. Then what you might want to do is click the email button. And what that'll do, well, it's going to pop up Outlook Express here, but it's going to pop up whatever your email client is. And you could actually cut and paste that stuff, the links for all of these guys, into any other blogging software that you may want to use.
Fair enough. That's a good workaround. Now, I noticed this first URL is just ginormously long. I mean, it's like flying off the page here. I think you need a second monitor to see the whole thing. Are you planning on doing kind of a shorter URL type of service so that if someone were to, say, send it in a text message, it wouldn't break kind of weird? Because I have that issue where I send long links to someone, yeah, and they can't use it and they don't know how to fix it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a nice feature request. That's something that we've actually got on the feature backlog. So, yeah, I think you could see that popping up pretty soon.
Feature backlog. Now, I can only imagine you're taking tons of feedback. And if everything I know about the way MSN has been doing things lately, you've been tracking everything that has been coming in from users.
Absolutely. We've put the site through a lot of internal dog fooding. So we've had literally thousands of internal folks as well as some external user focus groups come in and use the software and provide feedback. And we've got a huge backlog of stuff that we'll be adding. The good news for users is once we get this first release out, we've got a lot of features on that backlog that we're going to work very aggressively to get out over very rapid releases. So, of course, one of the nice things about web software is that we can, unlike Streets and Trips, which is on a 12-month release cycle, we can get new features out, every month, every 45 days.
I've got a really cool idea for you.
Okay.
Well, I actually got two other things, and I've got a really cool idea for you. Of course, Microsoft is now big into RSS. MSN Search is using RSS, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm actually using that to draw in content for my particular audience at Locker Gnome, which is one of the sites that I run, the primary website. Is there a chance we're going to see RSS crop up in here somewhere? And in terms of how it can be implemented, I have a few ideas, but do you already have that on your radar, or is that shoved back into the backlog?
Oh, it's on the backlog, sure.
Okay. So then my next question to that is, coming on the heels of Google's announcement yesterday, opening up the APIs for their whole mapping platform, is MSN going to be doing the same thing at any point in the future, or is also on the backlog?
No, that's actually in this first release. So in the presentation here yesterday, you heard our general manager, Stephen Lawler, say that when we launch, to coincide with this, we'll actually have a developer portal set up, so developers won't have to go and reverse engineer or figure anything out. We'll have a developer portal with SDKs, we'll have sample applications, we'll have an application gallery, tutorials, discussion groups, all set up to coincide with the launch here. And we're going to make it really easy. All this functionality that you're seeing is encompassed in one simple JavaScript file, which is our map control. So we've got a map control that any JavaScript developer could drop into an application, and in four lines of code, they've got basically all of that core functionality for navigation that you're seeing here.
You mean four lines of HTML, JavaScript?
Exactly.
Really simple stuff, so that if I'm not a developer, like what Microsoft evangelizes, if I'm just a user, a power user, it should be, in theory, as simple to kind of hack my way around the code.
Yeah, technically, at that point, you're a developer. If you're in there writing JavaScript, you're a developer. It's very light code. Most HTML coders should have no problem embedding Virtual Earth into their websites. Because like I said, over at that developer portal that we're setting up, there's some nice tutorials being created by Dr. Neil Rudin, who's a longtime developer evangelist and author, independent, not a Microsoft employee, in other words. And we've worked with him to create all of the content. He had sent me one of his first tutorials, and I was able to cruise through it really easily. Of course, I've been working with this stuff a lot longer, but I kind of went through his tutorial from the perspective of someone who is just getting started, knows nothing about coding, but can mark up some HTML. And I had no problem creating my first Hello World application, no pun intended. But yeah, it worked really well.
That would have been an amazing product name for this, Hello World.
Nice.
Come on, I mean, that would just, like, all the old geeks would get it. They'd be like, oh, wow, that's amazing. No one's ever thought of that. I mean, is there a chance of...
There is a chance.
Possibly. I mean, Virtual Earth... No, we got to take a poll here. Virtual Earth versus Hello World. I guarantee everybody in this audience...
Everyone in this audience, yes, will vote for Hello World.
Including all the GIS geeks.
Yeah, definitely.
And one of the things I noted in the presentation yesterday... a couple things. First, that video that you did, is that available online for people to watch, possibly on Channel 9?
It's far, far too embarrassing to actually make that video available.
Oh, well, then you'll have to use my recording that I did yesterday sitting in the audience.
Nice. No, I think we will. We had created that fun little video vignette just for this conference, but I think we'll probably put it up on a blog site or something. There is a Virtual Earth blog here that you can get to. Well, over at Spaces, we've got... a Virtual Earth blog where we'll be posting things like that.
Okay, so that the second thing I noticed in the presentation that you did yesterday was that you mentioned another browser. I mean, of course this is going to render fine in Internet Explorer. And, of course, the whole crowd is going, yeah, but I don't use Internet Explorer. I use something called, what is it, Firefox.
Yeah, well, and, great in Firefox.
So you're saying that you've gone for cross... Yeah, you've gone cross-browser with this thing, which is really kind of unique.
Our group has done a lot of testing to make sure it works just as well in Firefox. And I think there's probably one or two little minor open bugs that are Firefox-specific, but nothing at all crippling to the application. A few minor style sheet incompatibilities, but we're down to really minor stuff. It'll work really well in Firefox.
So you think your crowd is using Firefox or Internet Explorer overwhelmingly?
Without a doubt, the majority of our users are using Internet Explorer by a huge number. But you know, we by making sure we work in Firefox, we're hoping that we'll also work in some of the other browsers that we haven't done as much testing on. Yeah, exactly.
Any plans of supporting Lynx?
That's in the backlog, actually.
Tell me someone hasn't filed that.
No.
Okay, so are we going to see consistent development of this particular platform, Virtual Earth, or are we going to have to wait like 2 years for every new feature appear?
That's what I was saying just a moment ago, is unlike our CD products that we do have to rev just by nature of the way CD products are built, tested, distributed, manufactured, etc. We're with Streets and Trips, we're on a 12-month release cycle. But here, once we get this first version out this summer, we'll be on very rapid release cycles. So that backlog is being prioritized right now, and we're already starting to work on the features that you'll see us launch every 30 to 45 days.
What do you use to collaborate with your cohorts at Microsoft in terms of the user feedback that you get? Do you place a certain weight on certain amounts of feedback that you keep seeing over and over again? And if so, how?
I mean, we have a couple different tools that we use. We have our internal bug tracking system that we use, which handles all sorts of everything from software defects to feature suggestions and internal work items, etc. And when we see a certain feature being entered over and over again, we can detect the duplicates and say, wow, this one, you know, 30 people have asked for this. This has to really bubble up to the top of the backlog.
So what feedback mechanism do you have built into this particular product, Virtual Earth? So one of the issues that people have had concerns about is driving directions. A long time ago, I remember getting lost because I followed the directions off of one website, and then I ended up having to go to two different websites and kind of split the difference between the two. So is there any mechanism for people to say, this was the wrong way to go?
Yeah, like in our Streets and Trips product, there's actually a help menu item that says submit map feedback, and then we take that and we figure out which data supplier it has to go to, and we route it back to NavTech or GDT, TeleAtlas, et cetera, for repair. We're going to do something very similar in MSN Virtual Earth. In the community center here is our feedback page and our feedback form. And initially, it won't be as tightly integrated where you can just point at the map and say, hey, this road is wrong, and then click submit. But that's something that we'd like to get it to. Right now, you'd have to actually manually type in. What you would do is actually create the permalink if you wanted to send us the best possible feedback. If I wanted to highlight that this road right here might be drawn incorrectly or what have you, wait for that to draw. Well, we may have lost our net connection.
That's okay.
Assuming we get it back, we would have this feature here where I could take a permalink and clip it to the clipboard. What I just did now is a permalink permalinks everything. So my open searches, my scratch pad, et cetera. I could thin that down and just say, well, I just want to send Microsoft the feedback about this road segment. So I would say permalink, get a much shorter link, and take that over to the community center.
Why not just put a community center link right within the interface?
Yeah, that's something that we could get to. We'd need a little bit more feature work to make it really useful to us to email it with the right information about the map and the map view and let the user put in their comments about what the problem is with the map, et cetera. But, yeah, we'll definitely be getting something like that. And you'll see an early version of it here on the community page.
One of the first mapping programs I ever used on my computer was, I believe, DeLorme or DeLorme's, I think it was USA Streets and Maps or not...
Something like that.
Streets, I think it was. I can't remember exactly. It was so long ago.
Yeah,
that one. And then, of course, I evolved to Streets and Trips when that was released and was really impressed with that. And then recently, I didn't know about Keyhole before, but then Google acquired it, and you know, and then everyone was making a big fuss about it. I downloaded it. It was okay. I wasn't, you know, terribly drawn into it because I thought it had a few UI inconsistencies, but it was pretty cool. I mean, the gee whiz factor was just amazing.
Sure.
And then I found WorldWind through .NET Rocks after listening to them a few weeks ago, hearing about that. Yeah, the NASA open source project. So those are two. And I, by the way, I like WorldWind a lot better than I like Google's Earth at this point in terms of user interface and usability and everything. But it seems that with Google Earth and its integration with, you know, their maps, it's really going to be a very compelling product for people to use because it's very, very, very visual. How, if you have even thought about this at all, how does MSN intend on responding to that kind of application?
Well, I guess one of the key things is that we'll keep Virtual Earth as strictly a browser-based application. So, you know, with products like our Streets and Trips and Google Earth, you've got a heavier weight download and it's got to run on Windows, which is great. We love Windows applications, which is why we've been creating Streets and Trips for so many years. So it's kind of weird to compare the Virtual Earth experience with Google Earth or even Streets and Trips because they're going to be very different. Our first and foremost, what we want to do here in Virtual Earth is keep hitting on those user scenarios. So, yeah, high cool factor, definitely, but coolness without usability really doesn't mean much to our customers, our users, the people that we want coming back and using the site over and over. So I think we're definitely on that feature backlog. We've got some of those gee whiz features planned, but we're going to make sure they really fit in. We're not going to implement features for features' sake just to clutter the user interface. And like you said, a lot of these applications get to be more than my mom could really use. When I want to come in and get driving directions, if I've got to figure out like video fly-throughs and a lot of things that are visual noise to me, it's not so much useful unless I'm really an enthusiast, like a hobbyist who's a GIS nerd like me. I would, you know, fit that mold because that's what I've been doing for the last decade plus of my life. So I'm kind of naturally drawn to that. But there's a whole other class of user that really would be completely overwhelmed in an application like that. So we want to keep the site very usable and clean and lightweight.
And that's its product life. I mean, you're trying to keep it simple, not going to anything terribly complex or what would be construed as bells and whistles.
Well, I think there's a lot of bells and whistles in here. There's a lot of things that are cool, but the way we engineer them is so that they still fit in and they seem logical. Like things like game panning is a good example, where this compass will work like a normal compass. So the novice user, like my mom, will come in and click it like she would click a compass in any other application. But hopefully what she'll learn from her actions very quickly is that she can click and hold, and then the advanced user who might start hacking around with it will be like, wow, what happens if I drag while I'm doing that? And they'll understand game panning, where it's very slow at the center, very fast as I move away. So features like that are pretty, there's a lot of bells and whistles right there on that one control in the UI, but it's been designed so that there's functionality for the novice user, and as you want to drill in more and more, you'll get more and more functionality out of that tool.
In Streets and Trips, you can quickly identify things like restaurants and gas stations. Is there something similar within Virtual Earth? Because all I'm seeing right now are just basic areas or street names. I see a whole bunch of buildings, but I can't identify them visually.
You mean like to...
What's this building here? What's in this building?
Oh, I got you. So there's a couple ways to do that, and there is a feature on our backlog that's going to make that even easier. Here's a really neat feature. Watch this. I don't know what's here in this area. Right. It looks like... amid Occidental and Jackson Street. I'm not sure what's here, but check this out. I can put a wild card character in. And if we... yeah, there we go. So we haven't... so I can put a wild card character in. I'm even going to go to the tools menu here.
And of course, when you say wild card, you just basically put an asterisk in the what field, and then it popped up. Everything in the field of view that was business related. So I see World Wraps, fantastic food. Kingdom Deli, haven't been there yet. Law firms.
Paging through. And you can see that I can go, you know, next 20 items, next 20 items, and we'll page through everything that is in here. So I can eventually identify any building that I see in here, even if I don't know what its name is or what business is in there, or what yellow page category might correspond to a business that's in there. I can just say wildcard and start to see everything. Now, to make that even easier, how about a tool that lets you look at a building and click and say, hey, what is that? You know, the information tool, the question mark, the magic wand that lets me point and identify something. So that's something we'd like to get in there. Maybe a right-click option to just identify what a building is. I think you'll see that pretty soon.
Fair enough. Well, Steve, I think we've probably taxed you enough, and I think you're about halfway through your cup of coffee, so we'll let you keep playing and showing off this fantastic beta. And I say it is evolving it just a little bit more. It's going to get interesting with the whole mapping space in months or a few months.
And especially to see what developers will now pile on top of this. So this is, again, just our user interface. But when we launch and we have that dev center up there, I'm really curious to see, you know, what people dive in and start doing. We've had developers doing stuff with our mapping technology for years with MapPoint Web Service, but it's been strictly more for the commercial developer who had a specific application in mind, whereas with Virtual Earth, we think that by opening it up to anyone with almost no barrier to entry, it should be real easy for just that HTML developer that we talked about earlier to get in and just build their cool site. So it'll be fun to see what comes out of that.
When can we expect it?
This summer, very soon.
So just generally this summer?
This summer in this hemisphere, yes.
In this hemisphere. So that's specific enough, I guess. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot.
Coverage of Where 2.0 is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.